there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number 274, he said with enthusiasm, for he just looked up the number, for Friday, February 12th, 2016. Hi, how's it going? Phil Dickinson here. Jerry Hildenbrand.
What up?
Russell Holly in the dark.
Hello. It's really not dark here. It's just so bright outside.
Yeah.
And my camera's having trouble keeping up.
Is it still snowy there? Is it?
It's like not still snowy, but it is so cold. We're in the 20s today.
Alex Dobie is back.
Hey, everyone.
So welcome. Hey, that's my line. Sort of.
It is, yeah. I don't know. You don't have a monopoly on those two words, Phil.
That's true. So welcome to the Android Central Podcast. We do this live once a week, sort of, because the next week or two is going to get a little weird. We'll talk about that in a minute. So welcome if it's your first time. We do this, you know, again, live recorded, video, not video, however you want to watch, listen, or participate, you can do so. You can send us emails. You can send us voicemails, podcast@androidcentral.com. We got three good ones this week, including a follow-up from last week, by the way. How awesome was that? Jerry, did you listen to that?
Or, yes, I did.
No, you were on it.
I was here.
Yeah. Alex, did you hear it?
I didn't. I'm a couple of podcasts behind because I wasn't on it.
Dude, it was epic. You have to listen to it. I thought we had so much fun with it. And I'll just leave it at that. If you haven't heard last week's, go listen to it. Do you guys want to start with them or you want to do them later? How do you want to do things? I'll leave it up to you this week.
Well, I think we kind of have to start with them now.
Okay.
See what the fuss is about.
Well, we can do that. So yeah, let's start with voicemails. I even have them almost ready. I think. Yes, I do. So let's start with, we'll wait and do Damon's last. How about that? Anticipation.
Sorry,
we have to
Damon.
Build up. So we'll start with Brendan. Here we go.
Brendan? Hi.
We'll almost start with Brendan. Can I start like 4 seconds into Brendan's or should I start at the beginning?
You're the one in charge. You got all the buttons there.
Hello, Android Central Podcast. My name is Brendan. I have been listening to you guys since October 2010, back when I got my first Android phone, an LG Optimus S running Froyo. It has been a long time. My question, I think, is a Jerry question. It relates to Google Play services. I am just an end user, not a developer, but I've been trying to keep phones for longer periods of time, and I remember Jerry saying something about Google Play services, updating core applications without having to rely on carrier approval ever since Jelly Bean. Is this true? Has Google Play services delivered what it promised? And does this mean that phones can be kept longer without too much of a security risk? Is Google Play services the reason I can keep a phone longer? Guys, you're doing a fantastic job. Keep up the great work. I listen to you guys every week. Bye.
All right, that's a good question. We know it still updates, you know, every month or so, right?
Mm-hmm. I think it did what it promised. There are some security features built into Play services, especially with bad apps. I hate to say Jelly Bean. I think it's Ice Cream Sandwich and above has a lot more features than pre-Ice Cream Sandwich. Now, the later your version of Android, the more features you'll have. But I'm pretty sure Ice Cream Sandwich gives you the bulk of the features and most of what you would want. But I do think that having Google Play services expanded and breaking apps out of the system itself and updating them through the Play Store has allowed you to keep phones longer and keep them useful. But on the security front, there is no substitute for OS level patches and updates. There's just not.
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't work the same way. I was going to ask that question the opposite direction. What features are there, or what sort of thing breaks down, causing somebody to say, you know what, I need to get a new phone? And I don't just mean like physical things, like you drop your phone and you broke it.
It's for a lot of people, it's got to be more than just security, right? It's most people aren't even aware of that stuff, and it comes to, oh, my phone's running slowly. I can't be bothered to factory reset it. It's been maybe 2 years since I last got a new phone, so maybe that's what I'm going to do. If you're more security focused, then yeah, you're aware of this stuff. You're aware of security patch levels, and maybe that's something that you're aware of. And if you put Play services into that mix, maybe you're also aware that there's this secondary security layer that sits kind of above the system level, and that this can protect you from bad apps in a different way. But most people aren't even going to be thinking about that.
I think, you know, a lot of it depends on what you want your phone to do and how many of the new features you see that you want. An easy one is fingerprint, you know, support built into the operating system. You know, not a lot of phones have that yet, but it's easy for me to use as an example. If you really want that, Google Play Services can't give that to you. If you, you know, envision one day that you'll be able to protect your Gmail account where you can't look in your inbox without using your fingerprint to authenticate, you know, that kind of stuff will never come to you unless you have a phone that runs Marshmallow. So it's the level of the feature set that you want. You know, besides what Alex pointed out with older hardware gets sluggish with newer software. It just does.
What? The other side of it is we've seen this breakout between security patches and security patch levels and OS versions. So Samsung right now has 5.1 on its phones, but with the January security patch. So does BlackBerry, I think, or maybe even the February security patch. So you have this weird disconnect where Motorola has a lot of phones on 6.0, but without the latest security patches, and Samsung is actually arguably doing the right thing, which is, okay, their Marshmallow stuff isn't ready yet, but they're keeping things on Lollipop, and they're actually up to date with the security stuff, which is probably something to praise them for.
I want to go on record. There is no excuse for manufacturers not putting out the security patches to every single phone. If they can't do it, if their team can't merge it in fast enough, that means that their software is a problem and it needs rewritten so that these files that Google are changing are things that no OEM should be touching to start with. They should be able to just plug them in and go forward. And people like AT&T and Verizon have no business holding up progress here. That's Samsung is absolutely doing the right thing, just to not enough phones.
And I was going to say, my Verizon Note 5 on the November security update strongly disagrees. Mm. So there's that. At what point is an old phone too old? Like, software-wise, at what point? Never, you know, if you're on the fence and you're like, well, I mean, it still works. Do I need to go get a new phone? Like, at what point is old just old and you should think about it?
It's going to vary from phone to phone and from just where Android is in its release cycles. Right now, I think anything pre-Lollipop is maybe worth looking at something new, just because of where you are in terms of not just security. Chances are something on KitKat isn't going to be security patched in any way, but also material design and just the basic things that we got with Lollipop, like the new Android runtime, to say nothing of, you know, the newer features in Marshmallow. So, that's the previous generation of Android, really, if you want to look at not just the versions that we're all familiar with, but like the eras of Android. So that's still very much the Holo era with all the stuff that went along with that, the old runtime, which isn't as fast, and the old design language as well.
Anything else on this one? That was a good question.
This is hard for me because I'm more security focused than I am feature focused or UI focused. If your phone is not eligible to receive next month's security patch, your phone is too old and you need to retire it. You keep your life in that phone. Somebody just recently did an article I saw. I think it was Lookout, that the data in your phone on average is worth $16,000.
Well, that's how much it can be sold for, sure.
Right, right. So, I mean, that's just... Maybe that's an arbitrary number.
In which case,
number.
Can I get in on that?
Just thinking that. Can I just give someone my phone?
It shows as an example of just how much data is inside your phone. And if they put a value on that, there's somebody out there that would like to have that. And we really need to pay more attention to this because I think we all can remember before Windows became the huge attack vector on the desktop than it is now. Nobody could have saw just how that would blossom and bloom, and Microsoft did everything they could to try to control it. Google is trying to do what they can do from their end, but users need to be aware as well.
Fair enough. All right, next voicemail comes from, I'm going to say it because this is how I say it, Geoff. Jeff. Sorry, we had a friend in high school named Jeff with a G. We said Geoff because we thought we were cool like that. Anyway.
Hey guys, Jeff from New Hampshire here. I finally ordered my SIM for Project Fi after receiving my invite months ago. I'm curious if any of you are still using Fi, And if so, what are your thoughts after using it for a while? Also, what would you like to see Google do to improve Fi in 2016? Thanks. Love the podcast.
More phones. I mean, for me, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great more service. Phones and give me a family plan.
Yeah.
And I use Fi as my main service now just because it really worked out well for me.
Right.
I barely use any data anymore because the places I go all have Wi-Fi, and I have a Google VPN. I can safely use the Wi-Fi, and I do. So I actually, most months, don't use my 4 gigs I'm paying for. Yeah, and I'm going to cut back to the 2 gig plan, I think, and pay extra per gig if I need to. It works for me. That's not saying it's going to work for you. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's not going to work for most people.
I still don't quite get how the... I mean, I love it. Like, I say I'm on a 2 gigabyte plan, but I pay for what I use. Like, why do I have a plan at all? I just... That doesn't quite make sense. And I actually increased mine, I think, up to 2 gigs, but I've been using closer to 3. Nobody answered me all at once.
Well, I mean, that's back to what I'm saying. It right. doesn't work for you. It just doesn't. You probably need to lose it. You're not saving any money.
I'm not using it to save money. I'm using it because it's easy. And it works great.
Well,
like I mean, it's $40 a month. It's not, you know, what, like 50 maybe total, whatever. But, yeah, I mean, for me, it's been great. I don't have to think about it.
Well, that's... Then what are you complaining about?
I'm just saying. I don't know. It's very transparent. It's very easy. And that, you know, like in my brain, that equates to enjoyable, which is not really the right word for this stuff. But yeah, and I mean, it does the call forwarding the way I need it to because of, you know, my job and stuff. Worked overseas, great. I'm going to, you know, use it in Spain next week. So I mean, for me, it's been great.
I think a lot of it comes down to two. Does T-Mobile and as an afterthought Sprint work where you are going to be? For me, I'm one of those lucky people that, yes, I get great T-Mobile service in the cities I regularly visit and where I live. Unfortunately, most of us can't say that. And
Las Vegas was horrible. I had to switch back to AT&T in Las Vegas.
And that's what I was going to mention. There's a thing that people want to see for Fi for this year going to be something like Verizon support, some kind of agreement with them.
No, I don't want to see Verizon involved in this in any way, shape, or form.
How many times have I had to say, if you want anything remotely cool or open or cross-platform, you know, to whatever, you cannot use Verizon ever.
Okay, well, AT&T then, and another bigger network to. So you're not relying on mainly T-Mo and sometimes Sprint.
Yeah.
Because I was being around Andrew Martinek in Las Vegas and roaming on AT&T indoors having perfect coverage, and he was on Fi, and neither of them could get signal worth a damn. Yeah. So
AT&T is almost as bad, to Phil's point, as far as being open and cooperative.
But at least it's, you know, a true GSM standard.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
If I'm going to Las Vegas and I know Fi's bad there, I'll just get an AT&T Go phone SIM for a month and use my Google Voice number, which is my Fi number anyway, and it'll be seamless. I'll just swap SIMs and be fine.
I mean, if you're curious about Fi, use it, try it. It's relatively inexpensive, you know, even if it's not less expensive than some of the other plans you can get out there, it's pretty, you know, seamless to get in and out. Give it a shot. Just, I'm not sure I'd put my family on it yet. I might want to put my kid on it. I don't know. We'll see.
Have you tried the extra data SIM yet, Phil?
I've got one. I don't have anything to put it in. Have you not? Oh, that's right. Jerry's been off working. He hasn't been participating in Phil's trials and tribulations of, like, I don't need a new tablet. The Nexus 9 works fine. I almost bought an LTE one when HTC had that sale the other day. But, like, I don't have anything I can stick this extra SIM in, was the point.
I stuck mine in the V10 just to use it as a connected camera because I sure. UI, I couldn't put up with that phone as my own main phone, and it works great, man. I can take a picture and upload it anywhere I want or let it back itself up, and that works really good.
Cool. I will try that. All right. Finally, we have our old pal Damon back from last week. Here we go.
Hey guys, Damon here from New Jersey. You might remember me from last week when I called in asking for some marital advice, I suppose. I just want to let you know that Google actually made good, and after RMAing her phone several times for issues that are pretty much known all over the internet, they let us return the phone one more time, this time giving us our money back. I went on Amazon and got a used S6 for Verizon, and contacted Verizon, got it all hooked up to my parents' account, like I said I was going to, for $25 a month. And man, it's working great. No slowdowns with the camera like I was having. TouchWiz just isn't really my thing, but she seems to really like it. And the Wi-Fi calling is actually every bit as effective as I've come to know with Project Fi and Republic Wireless before them. But anyway, I just wanted to thank you and let you know I was still happily married, and both myself and my wife really appreciated your help.
I'm all warm and fuzzy now.
Yep, we're done. We can't do any better than that. Let's just end it.
We saved his marriage. I think we can take credit for that. Should the first child be named
credit for that?
Should the first child be named Phil or Russell? That's the question.
Lloyd.
Yeah, I was gonna say Lloyd. Surely.
Fine. Well, congrats,
dude. If you name your first kid Lloyd, I'm gonna make Phil send you something good.
I don't know what I would do. I would feel the need to apologize. You think there are any people, if there's anybody listening to this and your name is Lloyd, write in or something. I don't know what I'll do, but just saying.
Or if you're listening and your name is Lloyd and you have a tattoo of Lloyd on you.
Somebody got one once.
Oh, it's there bad. Are a couple people that have them. I know two personally.
Yeah, cool. Oh, there was, I'm trying to remember. No, I don't remember. It's been a while. So there's that. Voicemails. Podcast at androidcentral.com. Record yourself, send yourself. It's a lot of fun for us. What next? What shall we discuss? Alex, you want to? It's been a while since Alex has been here, so let's dealer's choice. What do you want?
I don't know. We've got a lot of new stuff coming, haven't we? We've got, it's flagship season. We've got the S7 coming. We've got the G5 coming. That's kind of a big deal for LG this year. They're going a bit earlier than we're expecting them to, or than they have gone in previous years.
And by the way, LG is doing what LG always does, which is announce the phone that you're going to announce, show off a few features of the phone you're going to announce. I mean,
this was great. That press release yesterday announcing a feature of the rumored phone, and in the press release text saying this feature is rumored to be in this phone, and then going into explaining that feature in depth in a press release. It's such an LG thing to do.
It's not really rumored, but I keep seeing headlines that say, like, the phone doesn't exist. The phone exists. LG says it exists.
It's in the picture behind that case. Yes. Of course it exists.
it's just not, like, announced or whatever.
I can't help but feel like LG has a guy that they pay to write rumors.
Oh, yeah, I could tell you who that guy is, I'm sure. But yeah, I mean, this is how they do it every year. It's not unique to 2016 or the G5 at all. This is their MO.
It is kind of unique that the leak cycle hasn't been as crazy as it was with the G3 or the G4. It's almost as if they're intentionally keeping more under their hat this time. And we know more or less things are taking a little bit of an unusual path to launch, that they're getting rid of the back buttons, it would seem. They got a fingerprint sensor on the back still. It's looking like it's going to be less curved. You have all this crazy modular stuff going on, supposedly. There's actually a lot for an LG launch that is about a week and a half away at this point. There's a lot that we still don't know about this thing.
Yep. Andrew's going to be insufferable for like a whole week.
Oh, Andrew's insufferable most of the time anyway.
He's going to be extra insufferable now.
Yes.
I'm glad I'm not going to be in Barcelona, because he's not going to stop talking about it as soon as he touches that phone. And I'm just gonna sit here in my chair in Maryland and just seethe quietly.
So, as much as there is a lot of new stuff going on, there are some things we can kind of work out based on the rumors and the fact we've had the V10 in the meantime. So apparently dual rear cameras, dual front cameras, so like four cameras in total in this thing.
It's a lot of cameras.
You would think maybe because of what they've done with the V10 that you would have the wide angle stuff and then the regular angle, I guess, whatever, on both cameras. You know, who knows what they're doing with the rear camera. My hope for the rear camera is maybe they take a book out of Huawei's, a leaf out of Huawei's book, and maybe they're doing some kind of crazy low light stuff with the two cameras there. Maybe it is just a case of one's normal, one's wide angle. Who knows? But supposedly something else that's carried over from the V10, and something that I thought was really dumb when I first saw it, but when I actually used it was kind of interesting, is that second screen.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the stuff it does, like the edge screen on Samsung, is kind of stupid, but there are one or two things like music controls and like having a quick app switcher up there, which if you're using a phone with two hands, if you can actually reach up to the top of the screen, is really useful. It saves you maybe one click and maybe half a second, but over time that adds up, and it's actually something that was... that I really enjoyed using the V10.
My biggest complaint about that was just kind of how notifications would, and maybe I just wasn't used to looking up there yet.
Well, yeah, they get lost up there, and yeah. Then you can't act on them later.
Exactly.
Once they disappear, I hate that thing. All I do is make it say cuss words.
I thought it was great for things like incoming phone calls. You don't have to, you don't have something popping up on the screen. It's just up there out of the way. Music controls, perfect place for them. So, I mean, absolutely.
Yeah. Music and camera controls, yeah. I will concede that it's really good for that.
Yeah, notifications got a little weird.
If we have a pair of wide-angle cameras, one on the front, one on the back, then it's conceivable that they have a 360-degree recording mode.
Hmm.
And that would be cool.
Or you can take pictures of yourself through the back camera because the angle is so wide.
What?
I mean, that is also possible. But yeah, I mean, so we're looking at all of these companies like Ricoh Theta or Ricoh with their Theta and 360 Fly and a bunch of these other companies that I've been talking to with these 360-degree cameras that are going to let people do VR stuff. And LG, when they kind of, I don't know, dumped their version of Google Cardboard on people with the G3, I think it was. They said that they were gonna come back and do more stuff with VR in the not so distant future. So it would be kind of cool.
That. Yeah,
it would be kind of cool if like a built in mode for this camera was the ability to record 360-degree video.
Somebody from a VR company that they didn't have anything to say other than look out for LG. There's going to be something cool.
Yeah, what I mean, if it's built into the phone, that would be incredible. Like,
I mean. LG is a company they named by name, so...
So remember, we're also expecting for the bottom of this thing to maybe clip off when you're able to plug new stuff into there, so mm-hmm. even if it isn't in there in the base phone, then who's to say there isn't some kind of VR unit that you can strap onto it?
That's where my mind went. That's going to be an interface for a new type of visor or something.
Mm.
I'm just thinking, like, 3D all over again in that case. And
well, I remember that phone? You and I had had to fight that phone.
That was like the worst year ever, having to deal with all that 3D crap that you couldn't show off.
The difference of VR is it is not terrible.
Well, and you can show it off to anyone, like especially with YouTube video and Facebook video, both handling 360-degree video right now. Like, you're not just limited to the hardware that you have, which was the big problem with 3D phones.
Yep.
Was that you could capture in 3D and then share it with no one.
Yeah, and I think we said that at the time. Yeah, I think 2016 is going to be a big year for actually making your own, quote, and I'm not really calling it virtual reality because I think at this point I've been spoiled between like Vive and Rift, like that's virtual reality. But this sort of in-between mobile virtual reality stuff, I think is going to grow a lot. It's not that it's not cool, it's just not the same. I'm excited for it, I think. It's going to be interesting.
And for LG, the other important thing is there was one really early rumor floating around that supposedly the software was going to be way different and they'd learned their lesson there. Believe it when I see it, because LG always kind of promises this. And then they have some irritating stuff on their software, like the notification tray, which everyone complains about. But we'll see. It's been another year since the last major UI refresh, and maybe they got their stuff figured out this time.
So I've been using the G4 for the better part of this week now that I got Marshmallow on it. I think they actually fixed the notifications there a little bit. I think I can expand them more than I used to be able to. Yeah, that or I set it up a little differently this time. I'm not sure which. But I forgot. I kind of missed that phone. I still very much miss the way it feels. It feels great.
It's pretty fast on Marshmallow.
Yep.
I got stuck with a bad one with touchscreen issues. And it's,
oh, did you?
Well, me and 1.5 million other people.
Sure, but,
so I will have to admit I didn't give that phone enough of a chance because I got frustrated, tap, 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 and nothing happens.
I miss having the fingerprint sensor, so it'll be nice having that. especially because like 1Password, which is what I use for my passwords, just finally got fingerprint support. Though interestingly, and I did ask them this morning, they're using just the Marshmallow fingerprint, which is fine, except for there are a whole bunch of Samsung phones out there and they're not using Samsung's API, which
well,
sucks.
And that's, I hope, I know, of course, LG had to have been working on integration of their own apps with their fingerprint
sure.
system. Part of me hopes they just abandoned that, just scrapped it and just went with what Google gives you, which maybe takes away a little bit of the things they could do, but it lets somebody else work on troubleshooting, you know, the core software itself, and will help further support.
Yeah, no one's using that API of LG's, if there even right. is an API, right? It's in one phone that was sold in Korea and the US. No one is going to be using that.
You know, Samsung's a different case. There are a lot of companies that will get behind Samsung. The best we can hope for there is that they merge somehow, the two APIs. But LG, I just hope you threw in the towel there. I'm sorry. Maybe your stuff would have been great, but this exists and it's free for you to use.
So how do we feel about a power button around the back and volume buttons on the side? Because if you look at some of these renders that are out there, it looks like they've kind of kept, you have like a Nexus 5X style ring around the back, and then volume rockers, and then the power button on the side is kind of conspicuously absent. So how do we feel about going to this kind of, you know, halfway setup between what we had before and what we're used to on most phones?
No back buttons, no buy. Period.
For me, it was more about having the power button back there than the volume rocker.
Which it looks like that might be what they've just stuck with, which
yeah.
maybe could be a good thing.
But even then, I mean, I get that you have to have a power button, but having the fingerprint sensor back there to me is more important than the power button, I think, because I'm going to be waking the phone with a fingerprint sensor most of the time anyway.
You hope.
I hope.
It could be like the V10.
If it's like the V10, then we're going to have issue. I mean, it could be like the V10. It just needs to be better than the V10. Mm. And my biggest problem with the V10 is, it's not that it's slow, but it was basically a two-stage. The phone had to wake up, and the second screen up top in the V10 has to be lit up, has to be awake before the fingerprint sensor kicks in. And I don't know. We had an interesting discussion with Nextbit about this and how they're implementing the fingerprint scanner and whether the term is, you know, whether it's continuously polling, basically, to see if there's a finger first or if something else has to work, if you have to hit the power button first.
So, and there's a battery cost to that polling, sure. right? That's what they said.
Sure.
So that doesn't come for free.
I don't know. I do not know. Yeah, and this whole modular removable thing,
does LG have the retail footprint to be able to sell not just the phone, but a bunch of crap to sell with the phone to plug into it?
Something about that just sounds either way overblown or totally wrong or something.
You know what's modular? You can replace the back cover with a different color. That's actually modular.
Sure.
Well, so no, we're looking at something that actually affects the way the phone functions, like hardware. Well, you know, an actual cartridge with a PCB and that does stuff.
Yeah.
We assume we are. We haven't seen that. We've only heard blogs tell us that.
Mm.
No, I feel about blogs.
I'm my expectations there are very tempered.
Yeah.
I want it to be true.
Hell, I don't know. This little network of sites we have is built on something like that.
Yep.
Is visorcentral.com still up? I think it is. Let me look.
It's a great idea. And everything everything we think we know leads to it being true. But man, this is LG. We've all seen them stand up on stage and show something that... Well, that's not at all what we thought it was going to be, and that's not at all what we wanted. And I'm just afraid that's going to happen again.
Looks like Visor Central is down. I'll have to alert Marcus.
Huh.
If you don't know what the Visor is, it's like a Palm precursor that had these modules that you would drop in for, you know, Wi-Fi or GPS or whatever.
And it worked well.
Yeah. And that's...
They were expensive as all get out.
That's what Marcus was working with, and then Dieter, and then here we all are. It's down. It's not loading. Oh, that's sad.
We'll have to get on that. Maybe the Wi-Fi module is broken on the server.
I tell you what, we got to do a quick ad read. Should we do a quick ad read?
Can we do it all together where we all read it at the same time?
We should. That would be great. No, this week's podcast is brought to you again by Harrys.com. Use the promo code AC to save $5 off your first purchase. Harry's offers high-quality razors and blades for a fraction of the price of big razor brands, and it was started by two guys who wanted a better product without paying an arm and a leg for it. They make their own blades from their own factory in Germany. In fact, they liked it so much when they first started making them that they just bought the whole thing. These are high-quality, high-performing German blades crafted by shaving experts, giving you a better shave that respects your face and your wallet. And I hope your face doesn't feel like your wallet. That would be bad. Anyway, Harry's offers factory direct pricing at a fraction of the big brands. The blades are about half the price. Plus, you don't have to wait around for the guy to come unlock the anti-shoplifting case at the drugstore to buy them. They ship directly to your door. Am I getting lazy? That's like my favorite. I think that's my favorite part of all this. I hate drugstores. That's me. Anyway, you guys are afraid to say something. It's okay. You can agree
okay.
with me.
I love stuff coming to my door.
See? The starter set is an amazing deal. For $15, you get a razor, moisturizing, shave cream, or gel, and three razor blades. When you need more, they're just $2 or less. An 8-pack is just $15, and a 16-pack is $25. Has great packaging. The handles themselves are this nice metal and fairly heavy. A little surprising how nice they were, actually. I enjoy them very much. And with Harry's, you get the convenience and ease of ordering online. High-quality blades, a great handle and shaving cream, and excellent customer service at half the price of the big brands. To get started with a set that includes a handle, three blades, and shaving cream for just $15, ship to your door, go to harrys.com, and use the promo code AC to save $5 off your first purchase. As painless as using
Fine, I'll do it. God.
harrys.com. Do it now. Do it now. Promo code AC. Do it. I guess we've had many more Samsung leaks over the past week. I'm kind of surprised at the number of leaks there have been.
Yeah, and it's kind of crystallized around these two phones, supposedly a smaller flat S7 and a larger curvy S7, the you know, predictable upgrades with the internals, 820 and Exynos or whatever. Supposedly we're looking at something that's not quite an S6 Edge Plus size-wise. It's, I think, 5.5 is the rumor. For the larger one, which is kind of a big deal. But again, with the 5.5 inch size, you're not necessarily stepping on the toes of the Note. So that's good, I guess. Rumors about the camera, I guess, supposedly everyone's expecting a step down to a 12 megapixel camera, but with better low light performance, better optics. I think, you know, everyone who is sane doesn't really have a problem with that. You know, 12 is more than enough. And if you're getting better low light performance, which is arguably what Samsung needs more than more resolution, that's just fine, I think. Water resistance was the other big rumor, and there was some, I think, component leaks or part leaks in a shipping manifest in India or something that leaked this week, because that's the way smartphone leaks work, that showed that at least one of these was waterproof. Batteries as well is kind of a big deal, because that was one of the big pain points with the first two S6s. That you had this very small battery, and okay, all the talk was about how easy it was to recharge, but it just didn't last very long. So the rumor is 3,000 in the small one, and 3,600, I think, in the Edge. So kind of a big deal, because if you have a bigger battery, just 20% bigger than last time, and more efficient internals, and a more efficient screen, presumably, and in the Edge, just a smaller screen than the Edge Plus last year, then that's going to be some decent battery life that you're getting out of that. So just improvements all over the place, and nothing drastically different in terms of the way it looks. We got a couple of photos that leaked out this week showing a curve at the top and bottom on most of these, I think, on the flat one as well as the Edge. But just a real refinement from what we had from Samsung last year, and some of the pain points like the battery life being less. You would hope with a much bigger battery that wouldn't be the case. The usual rumors about maybe the SD cards coming back as well. Certainly that would be an easy thing to fit in there if you've heard the reaction from your fans over the past year. So
for me, the battery would be the huge thing.
The battery would be the bit, yeah. And that's something Samsung hasn't really ever concentrated on the way that a lot of other manufacturers have. Sony has put battery life, not so much this year, but in previous years, sort of at the heart of its phones. I think Motorola obviously has the Max line as well. But if Samsung just in their regular phone this year has really killer battery life, that's going to be quite a big deal, I think.
I, for one, am looking forward to the Samsung Galaxy S6S.
We put up a post about what we wanted to see from the S7.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been thinking about that since I wrote it, and I was absolutely wrong.
What?
All I want to see Samsung do this year is renegotiate your contracts with AT&T and Verizon. You're almost as big as Apple. Tell them to go take a long walk off a short pier and deliver software and updates to users that you want them to have instead of what Verizon wants them to have and what AT&T wants them to have. If you know, and we're going to throw Apple out there. Of course, Apple can do this. Google can negotiate and allow Nexus phones, which don't sell. We love them, but they don't sell. But they can negotiate and allow those to be activated on Verizon's network and even sold in some carrier stores. Damn it, Samsung, you can do this.
Well, yeah, let me rephrase that. You are the biggest smartphone manufacturer in the world. Your updates should be better than they are, period. You are that big a company and have that kind of pull out there.
The nerd side of me wants things like better source code and documentation for your processors and faster addressing of security patches. But all that, you know, is important. But stop. Just stop being a shill for Verizon and AT&T to get their money and care more about your users. I know you can do it, and we will love you for it.
And look, here's a compromise if they can't do that. In pretty much every other part of the world, I think Samsung has an unlocked S7 that you can just go out and buy, and that is a Samsung phone that is unlocked that has all the bands, any crap on it, and it's your phone, you put whatever SIM you want on it, and it just works. And the US they don't do that at all in the US, and surely even if they weren't going to sell very many of them, that would be a relatively trivial thing for Samsung to do, even if they're just selling it themselves online. Plenty of manufacturers do that.
It's my understanding that that's part of their agreements, that they don't sell an unlocked version.
Mm.
They get more favorable, you know, terms from AT&T and Verizon if they don't do that.
And by the way, we are going to cover the crap out of this phone. I know we go through it every year. It's Samsung Central. Look, we're going to cover everything at Mobile World Congress, but we are also going to cover the crap out of the GS7. I guarantee it, just like we do every other year.
And the G5.
So, and the G5.
When we get to April, it's going to be M10 town or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever they end up calling it.
It's going to be the same thing every year with the same complaints from the same people. But I'm extremely proud of the way we cover these live events, better than probably anyone else our size, I think. We're going to do it again this year. You're going to be overwhelmed by the sheer amount of stuff we give you, and you're going to complain about it, and I'm okay with that, because we're going to do it again next year, too. It's going to be, like, I look at it as a challenge. How much stuff can we do on this one phone in the time allotted, in the time we have to do it? Alex and I have been there. Like, go back to the GS3, my first trip to London, and Alex and I did, I don't know how many posts. I think Richard helped, too. It's insane. Like, it's a challenge to see how much we can do just in that time. So I'm looking forward to it. GS7, G5. I guess we can talk a little more MWC next week, but like Alcatel, I would expect we're about a year out from the Idol 3. Huawei, we're probably in between phones for Huawei, I would think.
I would think we are, yes.
Yeah. Who else?
Huawei's smart.
I'm trying to remember who's actually publicly announced events or not.
Sony? Sony's always a safe bet. Who knows what they're doing with phones? I mean, we got tablets from them last year. Whether or not we actually get a Z6, especially if the Z5 is only just launched in the US, which is crazy, but there you go, Sony. Part of me wants to think that everyone else has an 820 phone coming out. Sony kind of has to do something. But then who knows? I mean, that whole side of things is kind of in disarray, so who knows? We'll see.
Anything else from MWC?
Russell, yeah. While they're in Barcelona, what I've done in years past,
yes,
fire up Civ 5 and play against the Spanish, and when you find Barcelona on the map, destroy it.
I would do that, but Firewatch just came out.
Oh, okay.
And I'm gonna be just elbows deep in a randomly generated forest running from fires.
Right, what is that? Because I've heard people talking about it.
Firewatch, it looks so pretty. It's this $20 game for like basically everything right now. That you are all alone, like in the woods outside of like California or something, and you're basically a fire responder. You have a basic set of tools and you are trying to survive, essentially.
Huh.
It just looks so nice, and for $20 I have to try it.
Is it mobile at all, or is it, what's it on?
No, it's PC, Xbox, all of those things. It's on Mac as well.
I think it's on Steam for Mac.
Yeah, it's on Steam.
Believe somebody. Yeah,
it's $20 everywhere, and I'm looking forward to digging into it this weekend.
I'm gonna talk Phil into putting Steam on his Mac at home. I'm gonna
just gonna start slipping him Steam codes.
Yep, I will give him so many dumb little free indie games that he'll lose himself.
All right, breaking news: we are fixing Visor Central.
Oh, good. That's
I'm sitting here texting with Marcus. If you guys don't know Marcus, he's awesome. Oh man, you want to get into the Q&A or anything else we want to get into?
We had some kind of interesting HTC stuff this past week. HTC, we're not expecting to see their big new thing in Barcelona, but there are a few interesting kind of hardware level leaks today from that football guy who often has things before they're publicly announced by HTC. So the big thing they had was, no huge surprises, just in the CPU this thing will have, obviously be an 820, supposedly it's 5.1 or 5.2 inches, Quad HD or whatever. The camera is kind of interesting, though. We supposedly have laser autofocus, phase detect autofocus, the same sensor that is in the Nexus 6P, but with OIS. So we're looking at a really solid sensor, like we've been seeing the 6P, can take really great photos, but with the benefit of that stabilization there. So even better low light performance, maybe out of what HTC's got coming next.
You mean HTC might actually have a real camera in their phone this year?
They might actually have a camera and not a potato, yes.
Let me ask this question, and does it matter?
No, yes. Unfortunately.
Why, Jerry?
Because HTC is a company I love. They started this thing we call Android, but if they're around in 2 years, I'll be very surprised, and I don't think there's anything they can do to change that. That makes me really sad.
Why, yes, Russell.
If they can deliver a reasonable experience, I think there are plenty of people who would consider going back to them. I don't think that they've alienated their base that much.
I think that my concern for HTC is that just in the design front, that they have gone from having a bunch of really cool features which differentiated them both in hardware and software, and now they're just making the same phone that every Chinese OEM is making. You take the X9, the A9.
Or rather, every Chinese manufacturer is making HTC phones.
Well, whichever way you want to look at it, it's this weird, half iPhone, half Huawei Mate 7 kind of thing. I mean, we saw it in CES in Vegas. Leica, whatever they're calling themselves now, their 820 phone looks exactly like a Mate 8, which looks exactly like a Mate 7. You go around any of these Chinese manufacturers, they're making basically the same phone. And my fear for HTC is that they've gone back to that they're basically making derivative stuff now, and whether they came out with that kind of style of smartphone first is kind of irrelevant because everyone else is making that now. And if you're making it and just saying kind of almost with this kind of this bitter tone that HTC seemed to have in its marketing last year, that we came out with this first, well, if no one recognizes that, then who cares? So if you're losing boom sound like they are this year, if you're losing all these other differentiating features, then does it really matter? I don't know. We'll have to see. But I don't know. The software, I think, needs an overhaul as well. And there are a bunch of issues there. So I would like to see them with a brand new version of Sense, with whatever Google influence was in the A9, maybe taken to its logical conclusion. With a really great camera, and maybe with some of the A9 stuff without being as overtly iPhone-y as that phone was. We'll have to wait and see.
I don't know. I just don't know. And I hate saying that. I love them as a
I know what I do like products. Is that none of the phones that we're hearing about that are being announced at Barcelona sound like they're going above 5.5 inches.
Yep.
And that's the thing that makes me happy.
Yeah, this is this weird thing. When was the last time you heard anything about a 6-inch phone being announced from anyone? Well, that's 5.7, isn't it?
It's 5.95. 5.9.
Yeah, 5.7.
I'm okay with that. Absolutely.
I mean,
it was nice going back to a phone this week that fit in my pocket.
For a long time, we kept saying phones are just going to get bigger and bigger. Eventually they have to stop, but they just seem to be getting bigger and bigger. And now it's kind of edged back a little bit. We've got
good.
It seems to have stopped at 5.7 a little bit, and maybe that's a good thing. I mean, even the rumor for these two HTC Nexuses that we're maybe getting later in the year is 5.0 and 5.5, which I'm perfectly fine with if that's the case.
Yep, we've scaled it back, and that's made me happy.
I mean, we knew it had to happen somehow.
I mean, I was really thinking for a while there that the stopping point was going to be 6, and I wasn't a fan of that because seeing what Motorola did with that screen size, you know, kind of made me feel gross, and I didn't. Then this past year, they, you know, things started tapering back, and that's cool.
Q&A. Let's do some Q&A. As soon as I find the Q&A, we'll do the Q&A. Here it is. Doug says, I'm considering picking up a phone. Nexus 5 is a backup phone. My kids are using the Moto G 2015 while I work on fixing their Moto G to a bungled update. Should I move them to a Nexus 5 permanently or just temporarily? My 9-year-old is using a Nexus 5. She loves it. That's my answer.
I mean, as a backup phone, it's perfectly serviceable, and you can get them dirt cheap wherever you're looking for them. So. Yeah.
If your phone does not need to have a battery, that is a great phone.
Oh,
I really like the Moto G, especially the 2015 model. But I think botched update kind of sums up what that turned into. That there's Motorola seems to have lost a little bit of focus. I hope they can get it back. But if it were me, I'd go with the Nexus 5.
Yeah,
man, that hurt to say.
I know. Right?
Every time I say the word Motorola, I hurt inside.
It happened.
I'm done.
Show us on the doll where they touched you, Jerry.
Oh,
yeah, exactly. Wow. I'm.
Wow,
it hurts.
Really? Wow. Dan asks, forgive me if this has been answered before, but I'm wondering about the Nexus 6P and if they fixed the glass and microphone issues. I don't know about glass issues. I mean, look, I've RMA'd one. My back glass cracked somehow. I have no idea how.
So, I mean, as for the back glass problem, if you actually look at the way that is made, you can pretty much figure out how that happens. The issue there is that you have metal joining straight onto glass, and the metal and glass have very different thermal properties. And if one gets too hot or the other gets too cold, then you have pressure on one, and then it cracks.
Stop. You're talking hot and cold that will physically burn your fingers off before glass can crack or metal can expand. No. Those 6 people that did the 500 posts at Reddit was still only 6 people who dropped their damn phone and don't want to own up to it. Jerry at Android Central. I'll argue with you all day.
I like to think
there's a reason why the front of the phone has a plastic trim between the metal and the glass. You look at any phone, it has that. That's because you need a buffer between the two, because if you don't have that, then any impact or any kind of thermal increase, then it affects the material that it's going to shatter, which is the glass.
I think, and this is something I've been careful of as I've been using it, when I put it down, you know, I tend to put it down like that. That is this big glass thing to land on something. And I think either hit something or I put it down a little harder than I expected to one day, and that's what did it. I don't think it's an inherent part. Like, this one hasn't cracked yet.
Well, no, Alex nailed it that if it had a bit of a cushion for impact, it would be much better.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as these people say, oh, I put it on a marble countertop and it cracked because the house was 70 degrees and it was 90 outside. You're full of crap. You banged that thing and it broke. And that's a problem. But you don't fix a problem by inventing a new problem to try to cover your butt to get a free repair.
Yeah.
Man, I'm hateful today. It's all from talking about Motorola.
Yeah. I agree with Jerry, though. I don't know about the microphone issue. I don't know what that was. Was there a thing?
The noise-canceling microphone needs a whole crap ton of room open and free around it.
Mm-hmm.
If your finger's too close or if you have a case, even the official cases, for some reason, that microphone doesn't work the way it's supposed to, and you sound like crap if you're talking to somebody on the phone. And that's everyone I've ever touched or every person I've ever talked to. You all have one. The next time you're on a phone call, move your finger close to the noise-canceling mic, and as you approach it, your voice will get bad. I don't know. There's a problem there.
Hmm.
Okay. I was going to say something mean about the 810, but I'm not going to.
No, stop.
It would make Russell mad.
Stop.
If you all have that Nexus case from the store, just slap that thing on there and call somebody, and then take the case off and call somebody again. There's a huge difference.
But I mean, you want to talk bugs in the 6P. The only bug that I care about, which I think is still unfixed, because you know, outside of security patches, this thing hasn't been updated since then. And that is the weird clock issue that seems to affect the phone at random at times, where it just, either because of doze or because of something else, the clock seems to freeze whenever the timer is off, and you can have the situation where you have a clock widget, the system timer, and the time on the lock screen, and all three read a different time, and it's crazy, and your alarms don't go off, and you have a bunch of issues because of that.
I've not seen that. I think that's just you.
It's me and everyone on the Google bug tracker for that.
Okay,
issue.
Fine. In those
all six of you.
Samsung Shield asks, what phone are you guys most interested in that is coming out soon? For me, it's going to be the G5, I think.
I think the G5, just because it's this weird wild card that we don't know a whole lot about. The S7, I think, is going to be a really solid phone, both of them probably. I'm probably more interested in the Edge just because of that giant battery. But LG is always this company that likes to experiment, likes to just throw things around and see what comes out. And every year they seem to change things up a little bit. So if they've seen the need to just completely go back to the drawing board because the G4 maybe didn't sell as well as it might have, then that's going to be an interesting product to play around with.
I'm most interested in the so far it's just a rumor, the Alcatel Idol 4. It comes with its own VR visor that's also a case, and I mean, I thought they did really, really good things last year with mediocre hardware, and the mediocre hardware is better this, you know, in 2016 than it was in 2015, so stands to reason they should only do better things.
I think it's going to be really interesting when Qualcomm has a chip that is mid-range that can actually run a 1080 screen, because we see a bunch of manufacturers trying to run a 615 at 1080, and it doesn't. You need to be so skilled with the software to be able to do that. HTC can do that; pretty much no one else can. So when it gets easier to do that, and when you can run a mid-range phone a 1080p screen without any real compromises in most apps outside of games, that's going to be pretty interesting, and that's probably going to come towards the middle of this year.
And a lot of companies did a good job last year with cheap phones, and I will use the word cheap unashamedly. But I think Alcatel just impressed me more than anyone else because of what they did for $229. And I want to see what they do this year for $229.
I would like to see what Alcatel could do for maybe $400 or $500.
That, too. I would be a guinea pig and spend $500 on one of your phones because I was so impressed with your $230 phone.
Imagine if Alcatel could maybe make a $500 phone and have someone like Cyanogen make software for it and maintain it.
Yeah.
Steve says, what is the greatest feature of the Honor 5X despite the UI issues? Go. The price. I win.
I've managed to get anyone at all to care about it. That is its greatest feature.
Battery life? I mean, for a
fingerprint sensor is good.
Yeah.
Jerry's still thinking.
You know, the thing I like about it the most is that Taylor, he's a friend of all of ours, and he's also, you know, media guy for Huawei, is out there making sure everybody knows we don't care if you unlock your phone. Here's how you do it.
Well, that's what I was saying. Like, I wasn't saying that to be snarky. That there is a massive, or at least it seems massive, community that has popped up overnight around this phone, and it is downright impressive. Like, and that wasn't an accident. Honor has built that, and that's an impressive accomplishment for a company like that.
Doug wants to know, is Trio Central still up? It is now. That got fixed. That's how quick we are, by the way. Samsung Shield, couple more questions. It was only a few years ago when all the manufacturers were begging for carriers to buy their phones. Carriers are still buying over 70% of the phones in America. It's finally changing, and carriers are losing power. You say so.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Yeah.
But
my wife, if anybody should know better, it'd be her, because you all know how I rant. She bought her phone from a T-Mobile store. I told her a million times, you know, you're spending too much. You're getting a phone that's been altered, and I really don't want you to do that. And she did it anyway. That people are still buying from the carriers. It's the way it looks to us may be changing, but in the back, it's not changing.
I mean, it's and fine look, to it, do, but just set your expectations.
And there's a reason why we're seeing it. It's going to take time for what we see, which is a bunch of really cool unlocked phones between $200 and $400, for that to trickle down to most of the rest of the market. It, you know, I wouldn't discount the fact that we're seeing you know, hardware like the Honor 5X, hardware like, well, you know, the Motorola, you know, the Moto X Pure or Style or whatever, that you're seeing that level of hardware at that price is a big deal, but it's going to take a while for that to trickle down to the rest of the system.
And you really need, it goes back to what we were talking about, Samsung. My wife, you know, we're not millionaires, but she wasn't interested in a mid-range phone. She's going to keep it for 2 years. She wanted something that was beautiful and would last her and was top tier. And, you know, she went with a Note 5 and she had to buy it from a carrier store. The mid-range phones will drive a lot of numbers and they're good stuff. But we still need the high end to be available unfettered.
And is there a better phone she could have bought than the Note 5 and that within those confines?
I wanted her to buy several other phones that she could have bought unlocked and would work, but they weren't the Note 5. They didn't have the S Pen. That's what she wanted. She uses that thing. I should really put her in front of a camera while she's using her phone and put it on Android Central, because she just does things even on a
I think that's another example where we are not normal phone users.
Yeah.
Specifically us, you know, who have to deal with too many devices and write about these things all the time. We're just not. Anything else? Or should we stick a fork in it for this week? Is it only a rumor that HTC will build the next Nexus phone? Yes, it is only a rumor.
It is only a rumor.
And not the LG kind of rumor. There's not someone at HTC writing a press release saying it is rumored.
Yet. I love that LG does it that way. I think it's fun. At least they didn't do it at, you know, 9 o'clock at night on a Sunday, which has happened before. That is less fun. In Korean. My Korean is still very poor. All right. Well, I guess that's going to do it for us. Again, send us questions, podcast@androidcentral.com. If you cannot be here live, it's perfectly okay. I would prefer you actually listen to the audio version. I think it sounds better. How'd we do on the live ad read? Because normally we don't do those live. Was that fun for you? Let us know at jerry@androidcentral.com.
Email me all your questions. I'll be happy to say something.
It's funny. Like, sometimes I answer emails immediately and sometimes I don't ever do. And I apologize for that.
And yeah, I do try. That was a joke, but I do try to answer if y'all send me stuff. But if you send me something really obscure and really, really hard, there's a very good chance that I'll say, man, I wish I could help this guy. And then file it away because I can't focus hours and hours and hours on trying to help you with a problem.
We could spend our entire jobs doing that.
But really, if you just need a quick answer, email any of us. We're here to help.
So with that, we'll be back next week. I guess we probably have to record. We need to record a day earlier next week. So I guess we'll do that on Wednesday, since us Americans, she'll be traveling on Thursday to Barcelona. Get there Friday. That's how that works. Unless Alex wants to do it without me. I'm fine with that. And then everything starts really on that. I mean, we've got a couple meetings, I guess, on the 20th. But the public events that we'll start writing about. No, I take it back. Huawei's, not Huawei. Alcatel's event is on the 20th. So look for... Yeah.
Are you sure that's an actual event and not just something that's not an event?
Yes.
Okay.
Alcatel's is actually an event on the 20th. Because if they did it the 21st, that would be bad.
So there will be booze there for you, Alex, if that was what your question meant.
That's what Alex was asking, yes.
I was thinking whether that's the Alcatel event or the Alcatel party, but maybe they're one the same. I'm not sure.
So stuff will start next Saturday. 21st is, we call it Hell Day, but it's really a lot of fun. So, I mean, it's just everything is Sunday. LG, Samsung, who else? We have
Huawei. We got Huawei going concurrently with LG, so yep. They're early in the day. And then we got Samsung Unpacked 7, I think.
ZTE is that evening as well? Yeah, it's going to be nuts. It's going to be
good luck with that, ZTE.
I know. It's not a good idea. A lot of stuff on Monday. So really, the easiest way to follow all that, just go to androidcentral.com/MWC, which you can do now. And you will find everything we are writing regarding Mobile World Congress. And again, we're going to kill it. You're going to be like, how did you do so many posts? And that was a whole bunch of too many posts and insane. So I'm warning you now. You can complain all you want, but we're doing it anyway.
I'm going to get in there and redirect /MWC to Visor Central.
Just like /NexusS or something.
So, Jerry, Russell, Alex, thank you guys. Everybody listening at home, thank you. Everybody listening live, hi. How are you?
Hello.
Do the queen wave.
Hello, Alex. Hello.
That's a terrible royal wave.
All right, do it. Let's see it. Come on.
I don't know.
I'm watching.
It's more like this, I think, isn't it? You move your elbow, not your hand.
Yeah. Do you learn it in school?
Yeah, that's what the teacher.
Yeah. I'm going to get emails.
You deserve them.
Poor Jerry. Look at Jerry.
I just wish I had a Sharpie handy so I could do a little Senior Wednesday.
So on behalf of everybody else, goodbye. See y'all later.